It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. CFL free agency.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're wondering what that was, I just, in honor of it being an exciting day, a day that'll be memorable, and there will be a lot of memories made. There will be a lot of memories forgotten and or erased by actions of players starting tomorrow. The Argos signed Mike Bradwell, the poster boy of the Toronto Argonauts. And well, I said that for the benefit of friends. So, you know, things have already started on their way. And you know what I can't see? Oh, my goodness. This is, let's see, screen. What the heck? Uh-oh. All right, I just hung up on my buddy. That I'm sorry about. Maybe
I'll
try and open it
here.
Up. Yeah. Oh, I can hear you. And you know what? My mic's gone. Not my mic that I talk into, where I turn you guys on and off. So you're here, eh, Chris? Well, you know what I'll do?
I'll give.
Yep. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to try to make a long story short. My soundboard is missing icons. I got a bunch of black spots everywhere.
Yeah.
So listen, just let's carry on.
I'll fix this.
So free agency. Yeah, sorry, Kelly. I'll bring you back in, buddy. My apologies. Let me bring Kelly back in. So I'm guessing where I'm putting stuff, right? But anyway, okay. So while I call Kelly back, I inadvertently hung up on him, thinking I was turning on his mic. Anyway, so you've been looking forward to this day for a long time, Christopher.
Haven't we all?
Yep. Are you there now, Kelly? Kelly? Dude. Kelly. I know you want to be here. What is this? Oh, well, you keep talking. I'll see if I can figure this out. You know when an icon's missing and all you have is blankness? I got to figure out where it would be normally. You follow me?
Well, I was just looking at the blog talk screen on their website, and it's kind of almost intimidating. So, yeah, I would understand not knowing where everything was for you.
You know, this is ridiculous. I can't see the button. Oh, anyway, go ahead. Give me a dissertation while I try and fix Buddy here.
A dissertation of what's going to happen in free agency?
Yeah, get us started. How's it
going to
break loose?
Well, you've got eight teams that have 68 free agents that are still available at this time, maybe two or three less, maybe a couple more. And Ottawa Red Blacks have 30-some-odd positions to fill. It's going to get scary. You know, they could end everybody. Just depends on how many phones they got going and how many phones they get ringing. I mean, I got the top 20 list of free agents out this year. TSN or CFL just put this out. And, damn, there's some good football players in it. A lot of them are green for some reason.
Colored green?
Yeah, they wear green uniforms.
Oh, you mean, okay.
I don't...
Well, how many teams in the CFL have green uniforms?
The Riders and the Eskimos.
Did I get you to work, Kelly? Kelly? Offer?
Oh, my. Technology is
not your friend. My word. You've seen lots of them.
What, lots of green guys? Yeah.
What do you mean by green?
Wait, they wear a green uniform last year. They're Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
How many teams have green uniforms? Hey, Kelly.
Yes. How you doing, guys?
Hello,
okay.
Kelly.
Sorry, Christopher. When it goes to the opening, for the sake, because I really feel bad because I respect you guys. When I go to the opening, the mics get automatically turned off, and I went to turn your mic back on again, and you disappeared. I did it again, and you disappeared. So this time I tried something different. I called you on the air because we could hear the thing ring, and I don't have to turn on the mic for you to be heard. So there you are. So
right.
That
yeah.
piece of information is for the rest of you that are trying to get on here. Guys, I apologize. Blog Talk Radio is misbehaving right now. At least their server is anyway. Having said that, okay, well, we're talking about free agency, and Christopher is ribbing the Green Riders, suggesting that there are a lot of free agents.
I'm saying the top 20 prospects for free agency are out, and I'm impressed that there's a lot of green guys in there. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of really good quality riders, and for that matter, a couple of Eskimos, that are available in free agency in the top 20. And I thought that was going, well, it's kind of impressive that a team would have that many that would actually rate in the top 20.
Well,
yeah, for sure.
It doesn't hurt.
I guess you could take it as a jab if you wanted to, but that's not the way it was intended.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
no, I guess I'm too accustomed to you, Chris. My bias has been built up.
Yeah.
For that, I apologize.
He's coming around.
Regardless.
But regardless,
the point is that there are a lot of quality free agents out there. The team that won the Cup last year, the Green Riders, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, that play out of Regina, won the Grey Cup, and the players that end up on that Grey Cup team all are looking for raises, aren't they, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely something that comes along with winning is, your resume gets a little bump there. Guys are going to be asking from anywhere from 5% to 50%, you know what I'm saying?
Depending on how
they play.
Or 100%.
As you guys are pointing out, we did have great depth in 2013, and you're seeing it right now on the free agency watcher there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's go back a year and take a look at Chris Williams. He wasn't a free agent at the time, but he made $45,000. What was he worth?
Sure,
Was he worth 90? Was he worth 150?
$150. There was guys in the league there making probably, I think it was 180. I heard Nick Lewis was making that year, and he wasn't keeping up to the numbers that Williams had, I mean,
yeah,
he just...
Williams' numbers were mostly on special teams, though.
Right.
So, you can't really compare Chris Williams with Lewis, because that's not a fair comparison to them. But still, I mean, to have a kick returner that puts the ball in the end zone, what, 8 or 10 times in a year? Holy shit. Whoops, sorry, Frank. We're not allowed to say that anymore.
Please. No, don't say that.
My bad. But, yeah, I mean, looking at the top 20 lists, I don't know if you guys have looked at this from the CFL. It just came out.
Yeah.
It we've got Chris Milo, who made the top 20 as a kicker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So well, I mean, kicker's in.
Second most accurate kicker. I mean, who's not looking for a kicker right now, you know?
Besides Maver, he's the man.
Well, kickers are going to, right now, Maver.
Pardon me. I should have said the other Calgary kicker.
Paradis.
Paradis.
Yeah.
Paradis.
Rene.
Okay. I was going, Mavers wasn't kicking field goals.
No. Capable,
he was
but
punting.
Not doing it.
He's punting.
Well, you know, I think with free agency, the nice thing about free agency for the players is they get a chance to get a second opinion, you know, and maybe even a third or a fourth. And I guess depending on how many opinions there are out there, that's, you know, how many ducats you can, you know, how wide a selection and amount of ducats you can acquire. So, you know, it's free agency is great for the players. It does come at the same time that the NFL starts releasing players and that. You know, you start getting players released from the NFL as well. And so those free agents are in competition with, albeit, you know, players that could have more talent but not as much experience in the CFL. What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of guys who, you know, think they can come up here and make a splash, but it's not always the case, you know. The nuances of the Canadian game are sometimes, too much to handle. Exactly, Chris. It's, you know, wide receivers you see come up here and struggle. It's, you know, the odd running back that fails to make it in the CFL, maybe just doesn't have that outside presence or whatever, but...
Yeah, but an offensive lineman coming out of the NFL coming to the CFL, isn't the game's not for damn, nor is it for anybody on the defensive line, except their back a yard. So, you know, there are certain positions that it doesn't make much difference what league you're playing into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do you guys think of Moore being rated as the number one free agent?
Well, it's due.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to, you know, I think Ottawa's the biggest problem this year with free agency.
It's not a problem.
And by that, I mean problems for the team.
Travesty. Travesty.
Yeah.
you know, why
nightmare.
A travesty?
It's a nightmare,
okay,
man.
So well, it does increase, it's a good year to be a free agent. You know,
it's
we discussed already
excellent year
the
to
additional
be a free
team.
Agent.
No kidding. And also, you know, the TV money, you know, the discussion about did I see something that just slipped right by in the news? Did they ratify the new agreement or not?
I didn't see that. I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah, because it is Monday. I mean, we should have heard if they had. I mean, it is Monday, so I think things wrapped up on Sunday as far as talks.
CFL.ca. You would think that they would have it front and center on the CFL.ca website.
I'm scouring further, and I can't find any news of that.
You know, you know, there's that, you know, causing players to maybe even, it's funny, you know, it's bipolar. It's a bipolar year because with all the additional, you know, avenues for players and the additional revenue that's out there, what hangs over their head is it a good time to sign now or wait till the ratification? If the ratification is due before, you know, free agency is long gone, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough situation, right?
Do you hold out and hope that, the cap goes up from 4.4 to 5.2 or something like that, and then you say, hey, you know what, I need another 100 grand in here or whatever, and can you justify that, and will everybody have their positions filled by the time you go trying to find more money?
It's a good question, isn't it?
You know? We've seen that a lot of players don't want to end up in Winnipeg. So if you hold out, is the only team that's going to be looking for you going to be the Bombers? I don't mean that in any disrespect to any Winnipeg fans.
I hear you. Now, so do we assume then, as far as, well, why don't we go team by team? You, Christopher, were, you know, going team by team.
We just had a trade.
Did we?
Ooh.
Chris Randall from the Bombers acquired Chris Randall from Calgary.
Okay. I'm
trying to find out who was in exchange.
See that on Twitter, Chris?
I found this on Winnipeg
SDA.
Blue Bombers website. No, Winnipeg Blue Bombers website. It just says Bombers acquire Chris Randall from Calgary, but it doesn't say what they gave up for it.
Yeah, see that.
I don't have my Twitter page up yet. Okay, ripping over there. So what do you want to do? Team by team as to what's available or who's out there? Or
what? Just let's go. You posted by team. Let's discuss. You want to start? Let's start in the East. Can we do that?
Sure. I really don't like the way that they're doing this on CFL.ca. I wish they'd really take out the people that I've already signed because they're really irrelevant. So it just muddies the water. But yeah,
they should have a photographic viewpoint as well rather than just text.
Yeah. Josh Burke in Montreal is probably the number one out there in the Montreal land that is still available as an O-lineman.
Pop is working really hard to get that deal done.
Yeah, no lie, I would be too. The other one is Josh Nesswinder and Carisi Bear. Carisi Bear has been said that he's going. Pop is not going to sign him.
That's right.
Shea Emery is another one that is definitely going.
Sean White there, add to the kicker list.
Yeah. Who's looking for kickers out there? Calgary.
Well, Ottawa.
Ottawa
is going to have a competition.
Toronto's looking.
The Riders.
BC is.
Sean White
the Riders,
is a you know, free agent.
Yeah. Toronto's is my... Saskatchewan is. You got to believe that BC's looking for somebody to replace McCallum.
So for Montreal, yep. What I'm looking at outside of Shea Emery, Sean White, if you think a kicker is going to be hard to replace, I don't think Nesswander is a big concern for them, you know, but I guess he should be. So really, at quarterback, their kicker and Shea Emery really are the three players that Montreal needs to lock up or concern themselves with.
Yeah. You know, in the case of Nesswander, it makes me think that there is an incentive for Montreal to sign this guy pertaining to what we were talking about earlier with the CBA negotiations possibly impacting contracts in a month or two or whenever we get the news.
Whenever that is.
Yep.
The trade was for 24th overall selection in this year's draft. Steve Richardson just posted it on the
third
first
round.
I guess he's listening to us.
That's a
third
round.
Actually, yeah, that's a good
that
deal for Calgary.
Third round.
It is.
He's got a third round pick. Bombers got Randall. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good deal for Calgary. I mean, no disrespect to Chris Randall, but I don't think he's your answer in Winnipeg. He's just a guy that's going to be competing in camp, possibly on, you know, the sideline to start the season.
All right, so let's talk about Toronto. I mean, we got a guy who's probably wanted in a few places, Robert McCune. Would look good in a lot of you.
Calaris is gone.
Are you sure?
I just want to establish that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's done.
Is and if they decided what they're going to do with Hank? Has Hamilton decided what they're going to do with Hank? Have we? Have we decided that?
Frank, where have you been?
I was just adding. I was raising you one. You know, I was raising you one. Of
going
course,
back
we know the Clara sign.
Okay. Come on. Potential departures. Okay, they're going to lose. Who are they going to lose?
Okay, so
Alexander
Tim Burke's the
Robinson,
new defensive.
Bradwell. Those are
Bradwell
potential losses here.
Bradwell signed.
Yeah, Bradwell's in.
Alexander Robinson.
I think the keys there are Watkins, McCune, and probably
Slayton.
Jones. I mean, I see Wayne Smith possibly retiring if he doesn't catch on with somebody. He's getting up there in years, and I know he considered retirement when he was in Saskatchewan 3 years ago. So I think his time is up. Rempel's solid, but I think you could afford to lose him and go to the draft and get a slot back that's worth giving some time to.
Yeah, and he's a non-import. Yeah. Unfortunately, the ratio there is a concern. And
yeah,
don't mind
sure.
the phone ringing, okay, guys? It's the only way I can make sure that when I call somebody, they can get on the air.
No problem.
Hey, there's Kelly.
Yeah, who's Kelly in the fullback. Hey, John. Did I wake you up?
Nah.
I phoned you earlier. You were too busy.
Did you? We were up.
Yeah, I left
dinner.
You a message. Good
did
for you.
Did you
have a good time?
Get the message. Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually. It was good rib.
Okay.
There you go.
How's everybody doing?
Doing well, John.
Good.
Okay. So we're talking CFO shop?
Yeah, we were free trading here. We were talking free trade. We're up
okay.
in Toronto. We can catch you up. Montreal, who do you think? Anybody? Nieswander's a free agent. Shea Emery's a free agent. We figure those are the two that Montreal needs to, and that Montreal make it three that should be concentrating on.
Well, from what I hear from a couple of my boyfriends on the team, boys, friends, guys, they're going to be signing at a 49. At 4.9 million cap or 40. What is it? Where's it at right now?
4.4.
They're going to sign it. Yeah. Sorry, I'm missing out the point. Had a couple of beers. Pardon the pun. 4.9 is what they're going to sign at, and the teams are being told to sign players at that cap limit. There is no contract officially signed with the Players Association yet, but it's just on the verge. They want to let the schedule come out and kind of do a little bit of a, how should I say, keep it in the news topic kind of day, you know, and with the signing, you know, bring it more attention. It's not just going to be a schedule release, which is just valid to us, not the outsiders, you know, who might pay attention, but they might pay a little more attention when they talk about players signing, CFL, blah, blah, blah. So that's coming up, and I'm guessing that.
And sell tickets.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys, if you talked about the cap space, but I've been told 4.9, and that's what the teams are being told to sign players at that level.
I heard something, too, John, about them having an agreement, and I saw I don't remember now where I saw it, but much like what you're talking about, it wasn't cement. It was things are going well.
You know what? At this stage, Frank and guys, it has to be already cemented, except for the public to hear about it. The players have already had their board discussions. They got their tweets. This is where, you know, I'm getting my info from. So it's already been put on the table, and like I said, it's been put on the table to the point where the teams have been told to start a free agency with the idea of 4.9, invisible 4.9 being there. And they wouldn't be
so
told that.
If they work towards 4.9, they're going to be here or there, or very close.
Or at the cap. Let's just say I'm getting strong 4.9.
I bet you that's the low. It might be actually five. It might work its way up to five when all is said and done.
Okay, but like I said, the boys told me. So
yeah,
take
yeah,
it for
well,
what
thank
it is,
you,
Frank.
Boys.
Yeah.
No, no, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, will the players sign at that amount? They probably will. I mean, you know, it's,
I
guess,
mathematically. No, I think
not
what
yet.
I'm trying to say is they already agreed upon it, Frank, because if the teams were sent out, you know, the GMs were told it's going to be at 4.9, and that's what you start free agency at, is you can play with the money at 4.9 and you won't get in trouble. It's just not been set out official. So,
yeah,
you know,
if,
I'm just going with my sources. Yeah.
If the CBA isn't complete, then the money side of it is.
Yeah.
You know, they might be haggling over little itty-bitty things that isn't that are really insignificant to it. But it would, if they're going to come out with a statement like that, which I have no doubt, John, that that's correct, is that the league threw it out there, the players have voted on that side of things, and that's more than likely in cement as per se.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to think so.
I just want to throw something out. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You know, I just want to throw something additional as far as the players. It might not be important to us, but there are things like that are on the table as far as personal appearances. They do get fees for that, and they are contracted to appear a certain amount of local, you know, appearances to do PR and stuff. And then after that point, they're supposed to be paid a certain premium. And those things are kind of the things that are on the table. You know, if they want to expose the league, you should, you know, it's performances after the actual field performances that are really what we don't hear about, but those are the little nitty-gritties that get the players a little bit more extra cash in their pocket. Just to, I thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, and I guess also that would include being on this show.
Hello. Yes, sir. That's right, Frank. Not necessarily, you know, they do stuff on their own, but when the team calls, when the Winnipeg GM calls and says, listen, we need you at this, I don't know, car dealership, and you guys are going to sign autographs, you got three that you got to do, and then after that we have to pay you, those kind of things. They have to show up to that.
Yep.
The show call-ins, no, Frank. Those are strictly, you know, it's up to them, the as you know, their PR guy or their communications guy goes out to them and says, look, we have a time slot, will you want to be on this, blah, 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 and he'll say either yes or no. You're doing it by phone. Now, when they got to go into studio, that's a different call.
I gotcha. Okay, so it sounds then like we know where they're at. $500,000 on top of you know their old salary. Now that money, do you think it'll get spread around, or is that going to be $500,000 that they'll have more to spend on a premium play, John?
You know what? I think depending on the team, you know, there's already teams that already have their premium players in place and they've spent their money. I think, Frank, if the smart money is going to go to diversity, meaning spread it out. Spread it out because, you know, talent pops up out of the blue where it's not expected. But the more players that you can have signed that maybe possibly wouldn't have come up to Canada because maybe they're $20,000 short of what their expenses would be or what they'd rather come up for, now you got a little bit more playing money to get those guys. And I'm sure Jim Barker has had a few conversations with a few players that were down south or in West Coast. You know, it's a little bit extra expenses to live out here. And if they hear another $30,000 coming their way, it just might bring a pretty good talent up here. So that kind of opportunity with the money, I see it. Premium money, you know, we're looking at, what, $500,000 extra. It's not chump change in the CFL. There's nobody out there that I see that is worth that kind of money. Let's just be
not even a McCune or a Shea Emery.
I hate to say, unless the revenues, and this is, I think, what they're also agreements coming up on, is because of the league expansion and the stadiums that are coming up, and the, you know, it's going to be more profitable. So I think there is some sort of share agreement there. You know, look, guys, the owners of the CFL realize that it's the players that make this league happen, and then the fans second. Of course, you know, we like to think of ourselves as the first things that make things happen. But it has to be these players who want to commit their body and soul to come up and play for, you know, for the love of the game, really. You know, let's face it, they're beating themselves up. It's brutal. You know, I get sore and tired if I'm working out for a whole day and, you know, doing stuff. Then I go home, I'm sore. These guys are getting bet up, you know, every day, practices and stuff. It's brutal. And for what? It's for the love of the game. So let's all be happy that we can give them a little bit more money for what they love, because we love watching them, right?
Yep.
You could also look at it, guys, as, like, draft picks, because, you know, 500K, I mean, that's around, like, what is there, 7 rounds in the draft? So that's 7 divided by 500K, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
That basically signs you all your draft picks this year.
More
yeah,
or less.
At about 45, at about 40 grand, 45, something like that.
Yeah,
even
you
more
know, I mean, throwing an extra 100 grand, throwing an extra 100 grand, and that's on
yeah,
your
a couple
draft
of signing
pick,
bonuses,
so.
A couple of
yep.
signing bonuses, and away you go.
Yep.
All right, we did Montreal. We're in the middle of Toronto right now, free agents. They signed Bradwell, so that's one free agent that isn't going anywhere. Biggest problem.
Manessi's really happy about that. Manessi's so happy about the Bradwell signing. Oh, my God. I'm sure he's just
yes,
jumping
I am.
Up and down. He loves that guy.
Speak of the devil. Speak of the devil.
Hey, Manasse.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yo, what up?
They signed Bradwell.
Yeah, I know. I'm so happy. I'm thrilled. I was doing a dance a little while ago when I saw
aren't
that.
Aren't you stoked, man? I'm stoked. You're
I'm
stoked,
so
dude.
I can't wait for all three receptions.
Just
number 88 lives on. Yeah.
There we go. Another,
well, listen,
and that's another much. That's another year of much music. Dave, his girlfriend, much music VJ.
His girlfriend,
yep.
What?
A much music VJ. She's a.
Oh, okay.
In the U.S., I guess. What is it called? What's her music station called?
VH1.
VH1 or what's the other? MTV. Yeah, you know the one with the astronaut holding the flag. MTV.
Yeah. MTV.
Yeah, you know, that's what a VJ is, video DJ. Yeah, so, yeah, he's a great guy. I like him, and you know, personally, I have a like for the guy. The guy's a good guy, and I'm glad he's with the team.
Yeah.
Whether he's relevant on the field or off the field doesn't matter to me. I've noticed that he's made a couple of catches that matter to me. So, you know, it's all good.
Oh,
so
Frank,
the Argos
guy's a down-to-earth. Look, the guy's a down-to-earth, really nice guy. No ego. You know, he's a good-looking, GQ-looking guy who can get any girl he wants if he wanted her. He might be wishing he was a little bit taller. I get it. Sorry, Mike. I know you're thinking it. But at the same time, let's just call it what it is. He goes out there. He gets hit just like everybody else. I think it's worse when you don't get the ball because you got to go for all the blocks and the first tackles. And when they do make a play, you know, he's the lead blocker, even though his size, you know, he's got to do the job. So, guys, Mike's a great guy. If you ever get to have a beer with him, you'll find out it's no, you know, ego, bloated head kind of shit. Sorry,
nope.
Frank.
None
attitude.
Of that.
He's, you know, none of that. That's right. And so I just got to say, way to go, Mike. And Allison Morrison will be very, very happy to hear.
Very
that,
happy. She just bought his jersey.
Not just that, Frank. She's got his name tattooed on her. On her
wow.
thigh, hip, sorry, on her waistline.
There you
okay,
go.
On the side. So, yeah, that's right. His signature, tattooed, number 88.
Perfect.
Way to go, Allison.
Perfect.
All right, so John and Frank, I got to ask you, any news on what's going on with Pat Watkins and Robert McCuen as far as getting re-signed?
No.
Well,
no.
Yes,
I
yes, Frank. You know what?
Go ahead.
Let's just call it, guys. Don't worry
yeah.
about it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say is just don't worry about it. It's good. It's good.
Toronto's intentionally being quiet. They're being quiet on purpose, Manasseh.
Okay.
Right now what you've got going on is the Olympics, which is why the free agency was moved up a couple of days, because of the
right.
Olympics.
Yeah.
The Argos will be making moves, but they've got one giant shoe that has to drop before – like something they want to do, I think, and John, I'm just assuming this from information that I've heard. You can correct me or adjust what I'm saying. A lot's going to happen after the Olympics in Argoland. A lot's going to happen.
Oh.
You know, it would just be smart marketing if that would be the case. I think that it's kind of unavoidable. The more that the longer the Olympics go on, and how long are they on for, guys? Correct me, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, what?
25th.
Who?
They'll be gone on the 25th. They'll be gone on the 25th.
Okay, 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Wonderful.
Okay. So, you know what? That's a good thing. And that leaves a lot of time to get all the news stuff out there. I just know, let's just put it this way. The reason why I have a good, strong feeling about McCune, and to be really retarded, sorry for using that kind of a belittling word, but to not sign him, or the fact, what I'm saying, reason why I don't worry about it is because I don't hear the negative talk, okay, meaning
right.
that he's not there or he's going to be gone. So
I
know when there's
released.
No negative talk. Yeah, yeah, you're right. And when there's no negative talk, guys, that means he's on the team and they're talking mm-hmm. to each other and everything is good and it's just the timing. And they want to all hear the cap stuff. He should be getting a little bit more money and he's a little bit smarter signing later than earlier. And remember we talked about it earlier, Chris, that the guys who were going to sign, are they going to sign and wait for the cap to move? And we saw some of the Rider players signing early, you know, Calgary, Tate and stuff. I was wondering, why were those guys doing that? Why don't you just wait for the cap move? Money to go up. So I think
well, John, maybe they knew it wasn't going to go that much. Maybe they knew it wasn't going to rise that much because really, in the grand scheme of things, $500,000, I think Kelly Bale put it in proper perspective. It makes an impact basically on free agents. Only reason he says that is because it equates better than it does like for a, you know, for a quarterback, a $500,000 quarterback, and then everybody else stays the same, which would be difficult to do politically
right.
speaking within a team framework.
Yeah, if I could add to that, too, Dave Naylor was saying how guys are structuring their contracts at modifiers, which allows their contracts to go up with according to whatever the cap goes up. So, like, there's certain percentages. Like, each year the cap will rise, so guys' contracts will go rise with those. So that's why some
Ooh,
guys are able to sign in ahead. Yeah.
And they can do that, Manasseh? They can do that?
Yeah, that's what Naylor was saying on TSN last time. So that's why a lot of guys are able to negotiate now. If the team agrees to, you know, add the modifier to the contract.
I've never heard of that in any sport. Have you? Has anyone else?
No, I never heard of that before. First time I ever heard of that. I didn't even know they could do that.
That's the first
time
I've ever heard of something like that. Me neither. I'm not shocked or anything. It doesn't sound like a bad idea. Actually, it sounds like a great idea.
Can I tell you guys where that comes from? This comes from... No, let me just explain why. No, actually, I don't think baseball... Not even close. Sorry.
I don't think
it comes from the
cap.
It comes from the owners recognizing that the players have sacrificed in the last two decades when it came to these agreements. And they realized, you know, they're willing to open up the books to these guys because it only shows in previous union agreements that if you don't open the books up, there's more reason to strike and not want to come back and not feel treated right. So when they do share it with them, I think this is where they're saying, guys, we understand. You know what? We're going to be flexible because you guys have been flexible with us. You've stuck. You showed up. You know, sometimes you heard that you're not going to get paid, like in Ottawa, you know, when the Renegades were running the team. And, you know, it was an embarrassment. And the Players Association remembers those days, and now they're being respected for it. That's where it's coming from, guys. And these owners who own the CFL, and Mr. Braley being owning two, great guys and really, really understand that it's the players that have been there for them and made this league survive this long. And, Frank, why wouldn't they have this kind of agreement?
Absolutely.
A little bit surprising.
John, but, you know, that goes without saying because, let's face it, guys, if we had a lot of extra money in the bank and we wanted to spend it to make money, we wouldn't buy a CFL team. And you guys know I don't mean that as an insult, right? Ownership at the CFL level is not about making money or a ton of it.
No.
Unless you're
depending where you are.
Right?
Right. There you go.
Yeah, But a ton of money, like, let's face it, Saskatchewan's the exception that makes the rule, don't you think, Manasseh?
Well, I mean, BC, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, to a degree, even Montreal make a pretty decent amount of money.
I wouldn't agree, but that's okay. We'll agree to disagree.
Well,
I don't think you can put any team on
the
same level as Saskatchewan.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like I'm saying... Teams that make anywhere from $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars in profit, like the BC Lions, make a lot of money. You know, Edmonton makes
Christopher.
A lot of money.
Do they make a lot of money? Do they make in multi-million in profit?
I can answer that for you if Chris doesn't want to. I can answer all three for you, Frank.
I don't know
first
where Christopher
of all,
is.
Where are you, Chris?
Well, he'll hopefully come back. Manessi's
hey,
right, Frank.
I'm gonna guys, don't let the sound of the phone bother you, okay? Because I have a problem with again, John. You weren't here before. I have to call the guys because I can't turn on my turns on or off. Maybe I should have said the
no
part
worries.
About turning them off. But I'm I'm going to ask you to hang up and I'm going to give you a call, okay, bud? I'm going to give you a call. Let me put down this number first. Oh, there we go. If you can hear me, Chris, please hang up and I'll give you a call. Okay. You guys will hear it ringing, maybe.
This call could not be completed because you're trying to reach a user. Because you're trying to reach a Skype user.
All right, now the Skype user's gone now. All right, anyway, go ahead. All right, sorry, guys. Blog Talk Radio is, I've never seen it like this. My control panel is all a bunch of blank squares. Like
that's
trying
to the
change
way to control. I like the way you controlled your swearing there. Blank squares.
Yeah,
no, man. If I could add to that topic, like the reason I feel MLSC is buying the Argos now is it's been reported that the Argos lose anywhere from $2 to $4 million a year, and with this new TV contract, you know, each team should get anywhere from $2 to $3 million in additional revenue, which means that the Argos should be breaking even. And if marketed
yeah,
well and like MLSC, I think, can do, which is do a better job of marketing and attracting more new fans, that's they should be profitable, especially once they move into their BMO field. They're going to be, in my opinion, I think the Argos are going to become like a huge hit in Toronto again. And everything
mm-hmm.
I'm researching
sure
and looking into, I think MLSC is going to take the Argos and move them to being second behind the Maple Leafs. What I mean by that is I think they're going to elevate above the Blue Jays and the Raptors. And I just think that in 5 years, everything I was saying to John and to Frank, all our arguments a couple weeks ago we used to have, I'll be eating crow major. Like, you would not believe it. I'm telling you guys. You guys are going to – I mean, it's hard to believe now, but in 5 years, the Argos are going to become so popular in the city.
We never – Manasseh, you know? I never disbelieved that. I thought that all along. Not to rehash stuff, but – the Argos have been living the past few years with two arms tied behind their back and trying
yeah.
to lick teams, you know, lick profits with their tongue. I mean, they really haven't had a chance to be profitable. Now with LSC owning the team and having a stadium, all those things that John and I said that were a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, representation in the media is going to change. Their own
yeah.
stadium, the schedule is going to change. You know, And the reality of having a team that actually has an owner that has the money and is who's not just doing a service because
right.
he's trying to save
yep.
a team and a league, right?
Yep.
And because of what you said, you said it 100% correctly, which is there's going to be an influx of money, at least on TV. The CFL very easily has become very good and very competitive, as we told you a long time ago. And I know it surprised you when we told you that back during the NFL season that CFL games in Canada outdraw NFL games. I know people may not believe that who aren't involved or care about the CFL, but for me that wasn't a surprise. That's why we pointed it out to you. And that is at the heart of why MLSC believes that the CFL can work. Because it does have a draw, it needs an ownership that is forward thinking, that you know talks about the team and has the ability to put the message out there, which MLSC can do. They're both TSN and Sportsnet, so you know,
you're also forgetting their other motivation too. Their other motivation is the NFL, and the NFL is basically giving them a mandate saying, look, you're going to have to prove to us. And so the Argos are basically their test, and that's what's going to motivate them to go that extra mile that they otherwise wouldn't. That's why I feel like the Argos are going to be propelled to one of the premier teams in Toronto again, and I'm going to go as far as to say they're going to become the flagship team of the CFL. They're going to replace the Riders. That's how far I think this thing's going to go. I know it sounds shocking now, but in a couple of years, we're all going to witness it. It will. And I'm saying this as a Rider fan. They will be bigger than the Riders. You get because
it takes years to get to where the Riders are, though.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the Riders prior to 2007 weren't really where they are now. I mean, this whole phenomenon with Rider Nation really kicked off in 07 on. Once Jim Hobson got in control and he started to market things and do it better, MLSC can do the same thing with even more resources and the motivation of proving to the NFL that they can run a franchise properly. So they're going to take
and
it
if
to
one is, and if one is to assume as well, Manasseh, that there is a big enough pool of fans here, or should I say prospective fans in this community, which, you know, extends in the tens of millions, you know, are there football fans here that with a product that's cool to watch? Because that's what's missing in the Argos. Right now, the opposite of cool.
I think the ratings would show that there are. I mean, not necessarily in the city, but in Southern Ontario in general, the ratings prove out that there's enough people into the NFL. So there's clearly fans there. They're probably, like, to John's point, they're probably just turned off because of the stadium and just the atmosphere there. But I think a new stadium, like what they're going to do in BMO Field, and something that's going to make fans enjoy the experience, along with the proper marketing. And the team is already a good team. They're fun to watch. And you look across the CFL as a whole, it's competitive, new stadiums. TSN every year has stepped up their game in presentation and how all the graphics and even the quality of the the HD quality. Like, I was looking at, you know, film from games in 2010, and it looked like it was 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, that's how much they've improved year to year. And so I think all the things that are necessary are in place. MLSC is the final chip to drop. And once they do, that's it, man. They're going to take off.
Well, that's why you're not hearing much going on right now, because MLSC is going to make sure they get all, they're going to get all the credit for what's going on. The good that's going to happen is going to be all about MLSC, which I don't begrudge them. If they're buying the team, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you deserve the credit if you do something good. So enjoy it. That's all I'm hoping, is that they actually do something positive for the good of the whole NFL. And as far as, Kelly, as far as Saskatchewan's concerned, wouldn't it be fair to say that before 2007, like Manasseh says, it wasn't as cool to be a Saskatchewan fan as it became after 2007, which is why I agree with what Manasseh said to that degree, where being cool is what, when it comes to football, you have to be cool. The NFL proves it. You know, it's just the way it is. They want young people. For young people to come, it's going to have to be cool, and you can take that for whatever it means.
Well, you guys, you have to remember this, though, too, is as people displaced looking at the situation from outside, the Rough Riders have always been popular, and you know, they have always done a pretty exceptional job marketing the team. If you look throughout history, the things they've done, moves that they've made, I mean, you definitely have to kind of, I guess, be attached. Like, I went through the 90s where, you know, our numbers were down in the stands, but that didn't really
That's the point. And what Manasseh is saying, whether it's intended or not, is that he's saying in advance of it happening. Back at that time, it looked like there weren't enough fans, but the people who followed the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the people who lived in Saskatchewan, the people who experienced football in Saskatchewan historically, knew there was a boatload of fans out there. They just weren't happy with the situation, which is what Manasseh is saying. Right, Manasseh?
Yes, sir. And you know, Kelly, exactly. I'm sure you would agree with this, that it was when Jim Hobson came on board is when As a whole, the organization, not only were they ran better, but they did a better job of marketing and, you know, bringing the fans back into the game. So,
things exploded around here.
Right.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying.
And credibility was raised. And that's what Manasseh is talking about, is credibility.
It even spilled over into the community, the greater community of the entire province. I mean, prosperity just seemed to come after that 2007 victory.
So all that we're talking about here, basically there's a template out there for the Argos have right now. The Argos have the same opportunity that Saskatchewan had in 2007. There are tons of fans in the weeds. The community is well-versed in the game of the Canadian Football League. It has a long and rich history in football. Unfortunately, it has gone through a couple of management teams that were questionable at best. And at this point right now, what we have that Saskatchewan didn't have was a caretaker ownership, and that's what I'm going to call the ownership of Brayley. Brayley's been the caretaker to make.
Can I interject for a second?
Go ahead, John.
Sorry.
And Brayley was the guy, basically, he's got the Argos on life support, just waiting for the surgeon that's going to come in and, bring this person back to life. Go ahead, John.
I just have to interject and say that it has not been the management of the previous teams, of the previous owners that have been really derailing it. Sorry, Frank. It has been really the city press of
Schwartz
Toronto.
Schwartz was a problem, John? Schwartz wasn't a problem?
No, listen to me. I'm serious about this, Frank. I've been living this for three decades. I've been through the highs and lows. I've read all the articles. I've been part of certain groups of management, did certain things with them, and this one here, a little bit more involved, running a supporter section and, doing all that stuff, showing up to events. It's a different ball game now. The other management had their hands tied. Right now, the press will change its sides, believe me, when MLSC gets it. Because MLSC doesn't need other press to support them. They have their own media world that they control. So they'll get the word out faster, better, and with more solidity, meaning that they're going to be solidified. They're not going to be considered like what they were quoted at in the newspapers here as a Bush League, the CFL, okay? Which is just, there was a time when they were degrading them in order to get people turned off on them so they would get turned on by pushing the NFL here. And it was hard to believe that Canadians, guys, in the city, would be so brainwashed into saying that it's not something to be proud of, having a Canadian Football League, we'd rather have the NFL. This is the kind of brainwashing the press has done, the media, for 2.5 decades. You'd have to live it to understand it. And that's what I'm saying. The management have been fighting tooth and nail to try to just be surfacing alive there to get some sort of attention from anybody out there in media. They didn't. And so they fail. Then you got Blue Jays coming in and just totally getting the feet from underneath them by saying you're no longer part of the agreement of the Rogers Centre or the Sky Dome because they're supposed to be dual tenants, equal, sharing, all that stuff. And then now you're just second tenants. You don't even get concessions. You don't get nothing. You get the seats, and we get the service charge on the seats. So how do you make money like that? You can't.
John, the problem with the Argos was long before that happened. The days of the Argos having 40,000 and 50,000 people in the stands ended before
Frank,
Schwartz came over. And,
can I
and
correct
it cemented...
you again, Frank? No, okay. Frank. Sorry. It was after the Gretzky ownership derailed because of the scandal with McNall, and I'll let the phone ring,
yep.
Is when it all started going downhill, is when Paul Godfrey stepped in, okay? God bless his heart because he was the first poop-with-disturber who really shot the CFL down when he called them a Bush League and pulled out a new stadium design that he wanted to bring the NFL up here, okay? And he tried to get money in the city
John,
on board.
I understand that, John. But
that's where
John,
I went wrong
in the negative,
city.
I get what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong about what you're saying. What I'm saying is the ownership that they have now is better than the ownership that Schwartz was. And
no doubt.
The ownership they will have is, again, that much better than Schwartz and better than Brayley, not because Brayley's not a wonderful guy, because we all know he is. But this
right.
is an organization that's media. This is a media. The two strongest media, well, probably, would it be fair to say, the only two sports media companies in Canada? I mean, who else does sports? Well, who else, John? Who else? What other sports media is
right.
other than TSN and Sportsnet? And they both own MLSC and in turn will be owning the Argos. Who? Kelly?
The Score.
No, well, the
Rogers
Score is owned also by...
Rogers bought the Score.
Yeah.
Rogers just bought the Score.
I know. I was just saying that it's part of the consortium now.
You guys have to all admit that the whole title of Bush League on the CFL was actually valid prior to, say, 2008, because at the time, you know, not all the games were televised. They weren't in high definition. This, and you looked across the league, all the stadiums were rinky-dink. I mean, even the owners admitted that. And now, I mean, let's just look at where things are. Imagine in 2 or 3 years, once the Argos move into their new stadium, and, you know, fans for the first time really willing to give the Argos a chance to just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to check the CFL thing. I'll see what I see. When they tune in, they're going to see brand new stadiums in Hamilton, Ottawa. You know, by 2017, the Riders in Winnipeg, Edmonton, BC, they're going to see, like, a dramatically improved television presentation thanks to the works of TSN. I mean, they took a quantum leap forward. There was a time when the title of Bush League absolutely applied to the CFL. There was no denying it in comparison to the NFL. That was just a reality.
And the Bush League stands for the quality of play on the field, not the way it's being run. And the nickname Bush League came up because of the way the players played rough and dirty. So they were called Bush League players, not the way the management ran the team. That's the way it got twisted over a period of time, and you classified something that wasn't being run properly in a big spotlight.
Okay.
A Bush League, which is wrong.
I'm talking about the way people have perceived the league as a whole. I mean, let's just
call it a Mickey
Mouse League. It isn't about what's said, John. I'm not debating with you the motive for what was said. I don't think Manasseh is either. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, good ownership and you know, a great game can rise above people calling the league names. And, you know, it isn't because people stopped calling the CFL Bush League, John. It's because the people who were in that league, which wasn't Bush, by the way, proved that they're not. They proved it in Saskatchewan. No. You don't think it has anything to do with the decisions that Cohan made?
Absolutely.
You know, his leadership.
He deserves the most credit.
Come on, John.
Yeah, there's no
question. Come on, John.
What?
You know,
Hold on. Come on, John. What am I arguing here? What do you mean, come on, John?
Frank, I think we all agree with John. John was just offering a different perspective on what he thought was the issue with the Argos. So we all basically agree on the same points here.
And the Bush League thing. How do you overcome it then? How do you overcome people thinking you're Bush League?
Do you guys know where they start? I don't think anybody realizes where it first started being called that. How it hit the press. I know for a fact you guys don't, because you're talking like you don't. It came up, like I said, in 1993. Paul Godfrey put it out in the ad in the newspaper. He owned the Sun. He was a freaking editor on the Sun, and he basically took the CFL schedule completely out. Well, you can't even tell it was there. He put it in maybe once every 4 weeks, and he started coming out by trying to sell
it. That was his opinion.
No, Frank, that he was selling it publicly on the news reports, and he said it. The CFL is a Bush League. We want to bring the NFL to this and make the city proud because we're a big city.
It was his opinion. That was his opinion.
It was a way to belittle and brainwash people to make them realize that, no, CFL is nothing to stand up for. It's a Bush League, so this is what you should listen to me. Let me be the go-getter and bring this team in. And it just spread.
That was his opinion. That wasn't a fact.
Right. Well, in a way, he can't. His statement wouldn't have held water if people didn't take that perception to be true. If they didn't notice it, like for me as an American from the outside, being an NFL fan tuning into it for the first time, I was sort of felt like, "Oh, this is really minor league. Like this is a notch above the UFL. What's going on?" And then for me personally to see in the last 3 years how far it's come from just 2010 till now. I mean, the CFL.
But
actually,
are you watching the stadium as far as, because I always look at the quality of play as far as seeing and the way it's run. I know it doesn't look right. It always looks funny to me in Winnipeg when they got this one big open side, another old big open side, and they don't look like a stadium. It looks like two pieces. Well, it is. It's a multi-stadium. They use it for baseball and they use it for football. And they were all weird at some point. You know, Exhibition Stadium, you don't remember, that was multi-used. It didn't look like a football field. You know, it's morphed itself into what it is right now. But the quality of play, I always loved watching in the 80s as a kid because of the way the players played, how fast they were, how good they were, not because of the way I was sitting, you know, or the stadium
I was in. But, John, when it comes to sports entertainment in general, like, everything has to play a part, right? The presentation.
I get it.
Your point is valid. I think the play, I'd argue, it's always been better. I think the NFL has always been overhyped, and the NFL just has better resources and better presentation behind it. But The whole point, we're just all point I'm trying to say is when new fans who haven't maybe looked at it or people who are giving it the first chance to really look into it in, say, 2016 when the Argos eventually do move into the new BMO field, you know, when they look in and they look across the league as a whole, not just in Toronto, they're going to be surprised, and I think a lot of people are going to be blown away by the new modern CFL. You know, because people are still kind of their impression.
The only ones that are going to be surprised, you see, this is the point I'm trying to make. The only ones that are going to be surprised are the ones who believed it was Bush League and didn't tune in, or the people who don't know about the CFL and will tune in. But there's a whole whack of people, a lot of people that have been watching the CFL for years, whether it is in person or on television. The numbers have shown that consistently throughout. Those people aren't surprised that the CFL is what it is. And you're right. At the end of the day, what's the hook in the CFL? Well, it's the game. And then how do you make the game better? You present it better. You've raised the issue about how TSN's done a better job of presenting the game. Well, the same thing's going to be true for the Argonauts. They will be presented better by TSN, the combination of MLSE and TSN owning the franchise first and foremost. And that's important, the fact that TSN still, I think they have the contract now. They just signed the contract for 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. So TSN is the broadcaster for the CFL, and I can't see them dropping the ball, no pun intended, because they've done a great job from the beginning of their relationship with the CFL.
And could I ask, is Sportsnet, are they owned in some way, like are they tied to MLSE in any way?
Yes. TSN and Sportsnet have an equal. It is Bell and Rogers. Bell is TSN. Rogers is Sportsnet. Rogers is a telecommunications company that purchased and opened, got licenses to broadcast sports regionally in Canada. TSN, on the other hand, they got their license to broadcast nationally. So in Canada, our Sportsnet is much like your Sportsnet in the U.S. because you have Sportsnet New Jersey, Sportsnet Arizona.
Yeah, that's
right.
You know what I understand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, ESPN is TSN, and in fact, ESPN owns part of TSN. So some of TSN's work that they do is very closely tied, let me say this in a way that doesn't scare Canadians too much, with an American influence in broadcasting, okay? And that's why the football is being presented in such a great way. ESPN has some experience in broadcasting football games. You know, so when TSN took it over, in fact, here, TSN, this will help you too. Do you know the name of the sports broadcasting news on ESPN?
Yeah,
SportsCenter.
That's
not
show.
Familiar?
SportsCenter, right. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, I understand that whole thing. My whole point
is TSN
is
SportsCenter too. TSN is SportsCenter.
Yeah, that part I knew, Frank. I was just saying to John's point that all I'm saying is prior to, I remember last season and before, so when I would look to SportsCenter.
Then there's one other owner. Then there's one other owner, Manasseh. His name is Larry Tannenbaum, and he owns about, I think it's 15 to 18%. He got an 8% bonus when the two big parties bought the team. He owned 10% before then. So then what happens is this guy's a big basketball fan. How do I know? Well, I knew him back in the day when I was broadcasting the Toronto team here, the Toronto Tornadoes, and he was on the floor, and he was just itching to get a basketball team. And the way they're acquiring the Argonauts, the way they acquired the Raptors, the way they acquire everything is they have an interest in basically owning all sports. And Tannenbaum used to be the guy that ran the show, and now he stepped aside. And now we've got John's friend, Mr. Lewicki. And he works for both TSN, TSN, Larry Tannenbaum, and Rogers. And that's who's buying the Argonauts.
Right, so the only point I was trying to bring up was to John's point about the media and their whole way of sort of trying to target the CFL. I noticed that Sportsnet prior to last season was always negative, and they were always belittling the Argos all the time. And now since the quote-unquote purchase has been made, I've noticed that even the things that they say have dramatically changed. First of all, they're much more positive about the league. They're always talking about the Argos in a better light. So to John's point, I think MLSE's influence is already kicking in even now.
Yeah,
and all the TV shows that Rogers produces, which are many, All the shows, that, like Breakfast Television, for example, which is one of the biggest shows in the morning here in Canada. In fact, it spawned ones in other cities, Vancouver, Calgary. They talk about the Argos all the time. And nobody at Sportsnet talked. And now their prime pieces are talking about the Argos. My wife knows more about the Argos than I do because that's her show.
Wow.
So it's totally, it's the way it is. They basically control about, between the two of them, they control about 90% of television in Canada, those two.
Right.
All right? They're like, just like ESPN, it's owned by ABC, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't spell princess without ESPN, right?
Right. So, yeah, that's the great thing for the Argos now. They have both sides seeking their best interests, right? So at the end of the day, they
Absolutely.
Should benefit all across the board.
Absolutely. It's a mutual admiration society now.
Right.
Because they all will be eating out of the same trough.
Right.
Get ready for a ticket to go up.
You better believe it, John. But the good news is what the Leafs did to, you may not know this, and this might happen with the Argos as well. The Toronto Maple Leafs are such a, like, they could sell out a 50,000, sometimes I think people might argue with me, but it seems sometimes they could sell 50,000 seats a game, it seems to me sometimes.
Okay.
And
the
they
Leafs.
Use that leverage, yeah, the Leafs, the Toronto Maple
Not
Leafs.
Not the Raptors.
The hockey team.
Not the Raptors.
Not the Raptors. And then what the Leafs did with the Raptors to help prop them up, if you wanted Leaf tickets, you had to buy Raptors tickets.
It's
John,
not working
please.
Too well.
The team is very
Maybe
popular.
Maybe in the Platinum. Maybe in the Platinums, but, you know, the Upper Bowl, there's no request for that. They actually always have Upper Bowl seats. And I know we always bring up the issue about attendance at this past year, the Argo games, where they couldn't get more than 21 or 22 or whatever. But remember, guys, during the week on a Tuesday night at a Raptor game, like tonight even, it wasn't sold out. You know, they're playing New Orleans, and they got, like, maybe 17,000, 18,000 in the arena. So, you know, we never talk about that poor attendance, and they're a big league NBA team.
Well, I don't know, John, that you can define that as poor attendance. Poor attendance is Phoenix in hockey with 5,000-6,000. That's poor attendance.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying about the MLSD and the Raptors.
16,000 is not poor attendence.
Right, like,
yeah,
on a side note, why does the NHL have a team in Phoenix and in Florida? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
TV
like,
contract.
That's an idiot.
They want
okay.
a TV
that's
contract.
Idiot.
It's a TV contract. Bettman's trying to I think Phoenix, as they say, it's the third or fourth largest TV market in the U.S. I found it hard to believe, but that's what they say. And they want to have all the big markets have teams. What is it?
It doesn't work at all because, like, no one in America hardly no one ever watches hockey here other than maybe outside of New York, Chicago, you know, I don't know. That's pretty much it.
That recent outside game that was in New York got huge numbers. I don't know if it was because it was a one-shot deal and it was, you know, the Devils.
Well, there were two of them,
the Rangers.
John. They played twice.
But I'm specifically talking about
the
numbers. Yeah, but I'm specifically talking about the Jersey Ranger game, which Yankee Stadium, and it had pretty big numbers for a hockey game. So it depends on the event. I think Stanley Cup is pretty big in the States, but, you know, he's right.
Oh, I don't know about
popular.
That, John. I would say, like, in comparison to the NBA Finals and, you know, the World Series, it's like,
compare
you know,
that.
Really.
Yeah.
It's,
no,
like it's like Toronto Rock being compared to the Argos. You know, it's just not there.
Yeah, I get you.
Well, as far as I can tell, there has been discussion that the Argos will be bought by somebody, and when they're bought by that organization, to review, they are at the heart of the media in Canada, and being at the heart of the media in Canada, they will make sure that that name is out there front and center, and that won't hurt. The team is moving to a new stadium. That's great, wonderful, and that excitement we know exists in Winnipeg, even with the poor showing that the team had statistically, it still was exciting. You know, Hamilton hasn't experienced it yet. Ottawa has not, but they already feel the excitement. People like Bruce John Inch and company are very happy and very excited about going to play there. So I think we leave the Argos there where they will improve. I think we can all agree, where they were 10 years ago. Does it really matter? Seriously? No, I don't think so. I think what matters now looking forward is we've got another organization that's going to have good ownership, the kind of ownership that the only props the league up and makes Cohan brave enough to consider expanding, whether it be in Moncton or Halifax or Quebec. So, you know, that's the next thing that's going to happen. How about talking about free agency? It's originally what we wanted to talk about. Not that I don't want to talk about Toronto. I love talking about Toronto. But what about free agency? Have we touched on everything? And Christopher, did I get through to you?
I'm here.
Okay, good, because I called you. I can't turn mics on or off. So when you call in, I have to turn it on, and I can't. And
okay.
So that's why I called you. Okay, buddy?
Well, I'm back on my cell. I'm here. I've just been very quiet listening to all the Argo garb and just waiting for us to get back to Hamilton because that was the next team.
Let's go to Hamilton now. Okay, free agency
Hamilton. Is that Argo garbage comment necessary, Chris? I mean, honestly.
I didn't say garbage.
I think it was a relevant discussion considering all the recent news.
But it may have been really relevant, but it was extremely off topic from where we were for the beginning of the show.
I thought Frank was the guy who calls the shots. I thought it was Frank. Sorry,
he did. He got off topic.
Guys. Sorry.
I'm not. I'm just.
I didn't make any derogatory comments.
I just was sitting patiently.
I vote Mike. Menace and Mike. Oh, yeah. Where is Mike anyway?
Yeah, Mike isn't here.
Hey, call call Bruce.
Bruce John Inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he? Again. It didn't crawl up. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that, Bruce, right now. Okay. All right. Perfect timing. Bruce is the guy when it comes to, talking about Hamilton. We'll give him a call right now. And like I said, not like that. I don't want to do it like that. Damn it. I got to call him again because I can't turn on the mic. Blog Talk Radio is funky tonight. It's funky town with Blog Talk Radio tonight. I don't even know how to explain to you what's wrong, but to put it bluntly, I've got a bunch of empty icons. Usually there's supposed to be mic controls there, you know, turn them on, turn them off, turn it up, you know, that kind of thing. And it won't let me do it tonight. And I'm getting really irritated by it, to be honest with you. But anyway... we'll press on. I'm trying to get Bruce. There we go. This should be Bruce. Now, want to make sure everybody gets it. And for those of you that are listening to Blog Talk Radio, hey, Bruce,
this is
Candid Frank Live, the Canadian Football League edition, and tonight we're talking free agency and anything that's Argo. Now that we got our Ticat buddy here.
So it would appear.
Chris, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried.
Those are important. Okay, good. All right. But having said all that, let's Bruce John Inch, I just introduced you as the 13th. I'll introduce you as the 13th man. And, of course, I introduced you as our Mr. Hamilton guy. So why don't you start the ball rolling? Who has Hamilton lost so far that's of someone of value that you think you've lost already? Who are you afraid of losing? And who do you want to make sure you sign up?
Okay, well, I think in terms of last year, we've lost Dave Stella, we've lost Henry Burris, and I just heard that we've lost Simone Lawrence. He's going to the Minnesota Vikings. He's a
filmmaker. Yeah, you're right, bro.
Yeah, he's
going to
sign with them this week. So that's awesome for him, man. He had a breakout year last year, and all the best to him. And hopefully he makes it, but if not, I hope he comes back to Hamilton, back to the place that gave him a start, and continues on being successful down here. As for the free agents still available, since Simone's gone to Minnesota now, and we've also lost a couple other defensive guys. Who did we lose? But anyways, we still have Jamal Johnson, who's up, and Mark Beswick. So they're two big guys in our defense, and Mark, he's a great special teams guy. And we still have Kevin Scott, but I think they'll sign Kevin because we don't have another – there's only one long snapper, right, unless we pull another guy out of thin air. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't keep him.
Right.
I think Troy Davis, or Terrell Davis, however you pronounce his name, sorry about that, he's up too. I'm not too sure what to do with him. But that's my take on it. So if I had my choice, I'd want them to sign JJ for sure and Mark Beswick. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Christopher, since you were panting, wanting to talk free agency, it's up to you, man.
Not at all. It was time to go down. What, talk about Hamilton?
Yeah, let's talk about Hamilton.
Bruce has kind of tied it up there. I mean, JJ is getting a little old. I don't know whether or not they're actually going to try to sign him or not. I think they would have already if they wanted to. So, I mean, they've got four linebackers that they've lost this year or potentially losing. They lost Simone. They lost Kevin Eben because he retired.
Well, we didn't have him last year, so.
Okay, I'm just looking at the list. I'm just going through the list here. And they released Luca Kanji.
He's actually a coach.
Medlock is in there. So,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, they have the second fewest amount of available free agents.
Do you see anybody heading their way, like a Shea Emery? They can't bring him in. I think Hamilton's a team that's pretty loaded. You're talking about who they lose. Do you see them losing anybody to another team?
Well, they don't have that many to lose.
All right. So then they're pretty much set like BC. You know, Nick Moore.
Beswick.
That's it. Okay.
Beswick would be the most competent.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kelly? Any other comments about Hamilton that you'd like to share as far as opinions concerned? I'm going to miss Lawrence.
Yeah, I just said that Beswick would be the most coveted around the league. If anybody was to move off that roster, it would be Beswick for sure. I mean, I think everybody's pretty set at long snapper. Like Chris said, Jamal's getting older. Torrey Davis, I mean, defensive tackle, it's kind of, you know, a non-import position these days in the CFL, so not really a high priority for anybody.
All right. John, Manasseh, Hamilton, any thing you guys want to add when we move on to the next team?
John, you got anything?
Can I add one further thing?
Yep.
Go ahead, please.
Everybody's saying Jamal's up in ages, man, but he had the most tackles for us last year, too. So,
right. You
know, he still kicks ass, man. So they should sign him for at least two more years. He's a great, great team leader out there in the defense.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, that.
The only reason why I said he's getting a little old is I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to be running to get him.
Hamilton may re-sign him
because he's an asset to their team. And the only other thing that may happen in there is Ottawa might look at him as, you know, as that rock stability team builder type of person that you've just mentioned. So that would be the only team out there that would, in my opinion, that would be looking for JJ.
See, I'm surprised Ottawa hasn't picked up Marquis Nolten, who we let go last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with him it was about injuries. But go ahead. Yep.
No, I was just going to say that's what makes this year so much different than any other year. Ottawa's a different animal. They'll almost – I'm not saying they'll take anything, but they'll take a lot of stuff that last year would not have gone anywhere. And that was a great example. You know, that's the example right there. All right, so we covered Hamilton. I want to make sure we cover all the people moving west.
I wanted to add one more thing about Hamilton. I was looking at the Scratching Pulse blog. It's a great blog for any Hamilton fans by Drew Edwards. It's great info. But he was saying Marcellus Bowman or Fredro Plessius, one of those two should replace the Simone Lawrence on the outside. And the one tidbit he added was there's rumors that Robert McCune is going to come to Toronto and hook back up with Orlando Steinauer and be the new middle linebacker, which then it looks
Hamilton,
JJ is out the door.
Come back to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Go to Hamilton.
Yeah. Thoughts on that?
I've already heard that McCune is considered in Hamilton. But at the end of the day, you can want any player, but he's got to fit into your budget. That's the one factor that I'm not sure.
The market may not be that strong, so they're probably going to get him at a solid deal. I wouldn't think that because the demand is not there really outside of for middle linebackers.
Hamilton saved a lot of money too by signing Zach and getting rid of Burris. They saved like
right.
$200,000 right there.
And even Simone Lawrence too. If Lawrence had came
back. Oh yeah,
back,
Simone, he would have been a big contract.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's make sure we have enough time though for the rest of the teams, guys. We got to work our way all the way to BC. Which means, you know, so we've got Winnipeg, the Bombers. The team that you say, Manasseh, that's going to have a great year next year. And they did acquire Chris Randall from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Chetovic announced his retirement. Drew Willey is the new quarterback for them. What do we see in free agency for them? You want to start, Manasseh? They're the team that you've boasted a bit about.
Yeah, they for one thing, they put on the record Javon Johnson's not coming back, so he's going to be on the market. He could be a guy, I think, going to Toronto and following Tim Burke. But as far as free agency-wise, I think they're just going to go after offensive linemen, really. And they may make – I'm hearing they're going to make a run after Corey Sheets and try to outbid the Riders on him, which, you know, is to be seen what might happen there.
That would be an awesome move on their part.
I think that's
where does that be. Where does that leave Will Ford?
I think Will Ford is going to come back. He'll be their kick returner. I think they're going to let Simpson go just because of injury problems. So they're going to have the money to go after Sheets. I'm hearing that they might offer him a record contract for running backs, like somewhere above $200,000, which would be like one of the highest paid in quite some time.
And this is assuming that his NFL attempts don't work.
Yeah, he's not going to the
right.
NFL. That's a guarantee.
He's not going to the NFL?
No, he's not. There was a report that the Raiders offered him a contract, but there was no guaranteed money, and he basically was going to be just a training camp, you know, body. And the reports are he turned that down, so he's going to be looking at hitting the market. And, you know, with the hopes that another team, like, say, Winnipeg gets in, starts a bidding war and forces the Raiders' hand to have to pay him a massive contract. So we'll see what happens.
And by massive, you mean like 250, 275?
Yeah, when considering like the average running back, like, you know, the top paid running backs in the league usually make about 150, 180 at the most. I think Chad Kacker might be one of the highest paid running backs now. So Corey Sheets obviously wants to be, and he deserves it too, because without him, the Riders wouldn't have won the Grey Cup. So I think he deserves to be one of the top paid.
And he would be somebody that would start a bidding war, because if you've got that offensive line, if they do, Winnipeg does what you're saying and build themselves an offensive line with a decent offensive line, we know what Corey Sheets can do.
Right.
Yeah, but who is the offensive line protecting? Get me?
Willie.
What do you mean? Like quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, who are they? Okay, get
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the guys.
Of course.
It's free Willie time, man. Willie's been caged up. It's time to let him go. He's free, buddy. He's going to take off, man. You guys are going to see by the end of the year, everyone's going to realize he's a good quarterback.
If you guys,
I'm already
if there is a good O-line, if the team has a good O-line and they have an outstanding running back, any mediocre quarterback is going to shine and shine nicely. So don't worry about Drew Willey back there. If they've got a decent O-line to protect him and give him a little bit of time, and they have a running back that forces the defense to at least respect the run, then any quarterback back there is going to do extremely well.
I almost agree with you, Chris.
You know, I think you might want to ask John Granger about Stephen Giles and Cleo Lemon on that issue, but that's neither here nor there.
I said it's a mediocre quarterback.
Oh, okay, I see.
Guys, I said a mediocre quarterback.
You're forgetting something, though. What's Winnipeg known for as far as the team? It's always having a solid defense. They win championships with their defense. They've been taking pride on having a strong defensive core, and the numbers have been always the top three in the league when it comes to defense. No matter how much they suck on offense, their defense have always been outstanding. So, somebody said, you know, I think both of you, Chris and I say, I think even Kelly said that it's not really, the offense that really kind of matters. I don't know if anybody said it, but I'm just saying, defense counts in Winnipeg. No
yeah,
one's
John,
talking
you're
offense.
100% right. You're 100% right. I happen to think the reason I'm not making fun of Manasseh and his Winnipeg make the playoff statement is because Winnipeg is the Hamilton of last year. Strong defense with very little offense.
Right.
Yes?
No, because, you know, Hamilton had a quarterback still. They got nothing out there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Jay McManus are waiting for. You know, McManus, quarterback scout, and he's supposed to be the guy who's going to find the next quarterback for Winnipeg. Where are they?
But I think to Frank's point had to do with the fact that, like, Hamilton in 2012, they had a great offense and the worst defense in the history of the CFL.
Exactly.
A sneaky signing for them for the Bombers was bringing Jason Vega back. He was, I believe, in with Dallas. And you add him at the defensive end. They trying to re-sign Kenny Maynard, and he's a pretty good defensive end as well. Re-sign Brian Turner. So their defensive line is solid. And once you have that, that's the foundation for any good defense, is being able to generate pressure and be able to stop the run with your defensive line. So
the problem is Winnipeg was one-dimensional this year, and it cost them.
Right.
Last year Hamilton was one-dimensional. It cost them.
Right.
You know, and you need a two-dimensional game.
Yeah, but even in 2011, when they went to the Grey Cup, you know, their offense was still one of the worst in the league, and yet they still made it to the Grey Cup with the great defense. So I think they can get back there. I like Gary Etcheverry. I think he's a great coach, and I like what Mike O'Shea is bringing to the team as far as having, like, to me, what you need in a head coach, a strong leader. I like his vision for the team. He understands what the Bombers like John said. He's putting the emphasis on defense and special teams, so I like the potential. You guys may not like O'Shea or Kyle Walters. I think they're inexperienced, but I like what they're doing, and I like their vision. I think they're heading in the right direction.
I got no problem with what they're doing, personally. I don't. All right, Winnipeg, can we leave Winnipeg there? We're down to, a little over a half hour left, and we still got the Western Division to complete, four teams. Anybody else on Winnipeg?
I'm going to jump in here just for a sec. Farhan Lalji just tweeted out that the Red Blacks are looking to move disgruntled quarterback Kevin Glenn.
Yeah, well,
Bombers are among interested teams.
Yep.
Is a first-round pick.
Nobody's giving him a first-round draft pick. That's a guarantee. Who in the world would do that?
Mike Townsend would.
Mike's on hold, actually, guys. I just thought I've just been texting with him.
Mike,
he's on hold trying to get your mic opened up.
I'm gonna call him. I can't open tonight. I can't turn on mics, guys. So
I've been telling him that.
Stay there for a second. Hang on for a second. Tell Mike to hang on for a second. Let me type in his phone number. I'm copying it off what I'm seeing, right? Because I can see his phone number. I just can't. I hung up on poor Kelly twice trying to bring up his mic, as Kelly will attest to. All right. Tell Mike to hang up, and I'll call him right now.
He's listening to you, so.
Oh, good. Okay, so, Mike, I'm dialing you right now. All right, so why don't we move on to the next Western team after we give Mike a chance real quick to
the
go over some
champion.
Of his.
You got to make sure to make that statement.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Howdy.
Hey, what's going on? I want to go ahead and respond to something real quick here. If I may.
Go ahead.
I would not give up a first-round pick for Kevin Glenn, John Granger.
Okay.
Are you sure? Because you love Glenn.
Believe me, I love Glenn. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if I can't give
as
you a third
agent.
Or a fourth-rounder as a free agent, I'll give you a fourth-rounder for him. But I'm not giving you my first. No, I'm not that crazy.
Right. You can get them for free.
Another reason why Mike likes him is he's a Detroit native, too, so just got to put that out there.
He owns a lot of
Tim Hortons. Mike's a big coffee fan, being a truck driver.
Seven of them, I heard. You know, I don't even drink coffee.
I'm just kidding, Mike. Mike, real quick, Eastern Division. We've only got a little bit of time left. We're in the Western Division, but first, Eastern Division. Give us your insights on to free agency. Who out there do you think teams should be afraid of losing and or intent on taking from another team, as well as what they're planning on keeping in free agency?
When I was listening earlier, Bruce Johnich basically hit it on the head. I like Javon Johnson. I'll sign him to maybe a 1 year or 2 year deal if I was Hamilton. If not, I think Toronto should get him up because they need somebody on their defensive end, on the defensive side of the ball, because their corner is, you know, is mediocre. Mediocre, I should say that. Let me see. Who else? The guy that just got that signing with the Vikings.
Simone Lawrence.
Simone Lawrence. That's going to be a big loss, but I don't really see him sticking in the NFL because they say his size. He's only 228 pounds. So I see him coming back, but hopefully that he come back to the Cats. But other than that, man, y'all hit it on the head, man, so y'all can move on to something else. I just catch up as y'all go along.
Okay, now we're at the Bombers. Drew Willey is the quarterback. We were discussing the fact that they may be the dark horse, and I stated that they're basically the Hamilton of last year, not because of a great offense and no defense, the opposite, defense with no offense.
Mm-hmm. If I were Winnipeg and I'd rip Manasseh, I'd be trying to go after Corey Sheets, man, give him a nice contract to see if Saskatchewan would probably match it. But if not, give him the money. He deserves it. Try to get him. You're going to need something in that backfield to help your quarterback out.
Yeah, and we're all agreed that a quarterback, a front line, and a running back make a great offense.
Yes, sir. They just need to get the offensive line to protect their quarterback.
And even a competent quarterback. I'll change Christopher's word, but average or competent quarterback.
Yeah.
Drew Willey is more than average, man. That guy's a baller, man.
There you go. There you go. So we agree that he's a good quarterback.
Actually, guys, if you really wanted to find out, you didn't actually pay attention to my jab in there, and it was that if you have a great O-line and a decent running back, any mediocre quarterback is going to shine, and that was kind of like saying Durant did okay last year.
No, I knew that you were
That's
exactly,
funny considering
exactly
he threw the most touchdown passes in the CFL last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
what's your point? Because he had a great O-line and a great running back, and that made a quarterback better than he was.
Coming up to Saskatchewan, we're finished with Winnipeg, and now this is Saskatchewan. Officially, now we're
all hell just broke loose.
I'm just saying, Chris, if you're going to be a hater, at least get your facts straight. Don't just throw trash out there and think that it's going to stick just because you're saying it. You know what I'm saying? Don't be mad.
No,
your team lost, and your team got beat in the first round.
It's got nothing to do with my team, Manasseh, and get real with it, okay?
It's not. Why you got to keep dogging Durant every other chance? Like every show.
Because I don't think he's that good a quarterback, and his numbers don't say that year in, year out. They do not say that. Last year was exceptional because
of
why? Corey Sheets and an O-line.
Threw 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, averaged almost 300 yards a game through the playoff run.
Exactly.
How does your
That's my
stand
and
in
what
light
was
of
his
stats and evidence.
And what was
That's
his ratio on interceptions to touchdowns last year?
No,
okay.
Information to back up your point. That's my point.
Oh, Manasseh, you don't listen. Go back a year, and what was his touchdown to interception ratio? It was damn near 1-1. So they've gone out and they got an O-line and they got a running back in Corey Sheets, and all of a sudden a guy who's throwing 1-1 in ratio and touchdown interceptions is actually coming out at the end of the season at 2.6-1. Okay? He shone last year, but it wasn't because he's an awesome quarterback. It's because they built a team around him.
Okay, so
I don't care what the stats were. Just go back a year and look at them.
MOP in 2011. You're telling me that wasn't a byproduct of a great line, great receivers, and a good running game? So if you want to go there,
the
only quarterback that rises above that standard.
You're both saying the same thing. You're just highlighting it differently. At the end of the day, guys. Can we leave it there? At the end of the day, Durant won the Grey Cup.
It's your hate for the writers. That's the only reason you're making that statement.
Okay, Manasseh, let's leave it there. Guys, let's leave it there. Free agents with Saskatchewan. Corey Sheets is out there. They've lost a few players or in the process of losing. They lost Dressler. They're in the process of possibly losing Sheets. We're hearing here on this show anyway, on Candid Frank Live, that Corey Sheets may
Craig
be
Butler,
an interest.
Alec Hall.
Craig Butler. There you go. and this is a team that just won the Grey Cup, and it's not unusual for a team that wins the Grey Cup. The Argos went through it. BC went through it. Montreal went through it. Everybody goes through it. You win, and your players want more money, and unfortunately, there's a ceiling for how much you can pay players. So the question, I guess, was... Yeah, and so does Saskatchewan have any concerns in free agency? Let me start with Kelly. Kelly, define for us the situation in free agency for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Is he here?
That's a good question. Did you
know
he was
here?
Sorry, guys.
I think he went out to go rally
here
the
he
mom.
Is.
He was chase after Chris.
He was breastfeeding. He was breastfeeding.
It's okay. All right. Well, yeah, there is a few guys who obviously the media has picked up on and you guys have pointed out already. So I'll kind of start with a recap. We have extended Macho Harris. We have extended Terrell Mays. We have extended Tosh Smith. And today, my buddy, Paul Waldo, extended, and he's a beast on special teams, guys, and every time he's been called on to fill spot duty at the corner, he's performed like a real pro out there. Now, as far as the other guys, the kind of untalked about guys, we have Pierre Johnson, wide receiver. He played quite a bit this year, spot duty, and made the 42-man I think six times or something like that. So he was a big part of what we did during the regular season, if he had the numbers or not. I don't think he's going to re-sign, however, is what the rumblings around town are. Abraham Kuroma, another guy who, you know, you look at him and he had pretty catastrophic injury a couple of years ago and came back last year late and was kind of available toward the end of the year, but they didn't end up using him, and he finished out the year on the PR, I believe. Anyways, he is somebody I'd like to re-sign, and I think they should have no problem re-signing. Jermaine McElveen, he's another guy that a lot of people have talked about leaving town and possibly heading back to Hamilton or maybe catching on in Winnipeg. Greg Newman, the statement today from Brendan Tamman was we might lose one or both of Greg Newman, safety, Canadian, and Craig Butler.
What?
Ricky Schmidt. Oh. Ricky Schmidt, people have talked about him, NFL possibilities, and possibly testing the market. Yeah, so I guess that leaves Chris Melo, who probably should be heavily looked at by Ottawa. I mean, second best kicker in the league last year, numbers-wise. And
Why isn't the Riders re-signing him?
Pardon?
Why aren't the Riders re-signing him?
I think it comes down to a money thing. I'm not too sure.
He was getting a couple
nothing,
of NFL workouts.
There's nothing saying that he isn't being pursued either.
Right.
Tamman says he's after everybody, so he's playing it pretty close. Aaron Hargreaves is the only guy left, and he's a veteran Canadian receiver. Played with three teams, I think, and he, I don't know, I can't see us really re-signing him with a good draft this year. So, yeah. That's where we stand. Oh, and Alex Hall, I mean, I see him probably pursuing other avenues. I don't think we'll be able to give him the money he wants.
Okay. So it sounds to me like they don't have a lot of big signings other than the ones mentioned at the top, Butler and Sheets. This is a team that devastated Hamilton in the Grey Cup. This is a team that when they weren't devastating – had some key injuries. Do you think they can survive without making those signings to the point where they can compete again next year for first place?
Absolutely. It's something where you have to just look at the recent history of the Riders, and since 2007, had a lot of changes in Riderville, and somehow he end up close to the top every time. So I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, we haven't had a change at the very top since then, and Tammin's been doing a fantastic job. He's very slick GM. I mean, you just look at the Etienne deal, and he signed today, so that makes good on that deal. I mean, he's a slick guy. He knows what he's doing, and I just put all my confidence in his hands.
I think Saskatchewan's in a very unique position right now where winning the Grey Cup, you usually get your team butchered afterwards because of that. But with in what I would call a substantial race to the cap, I think they've got a little bit more money that they might be able to keep a few of the bigger guys a little bit happier, and that the numbers just may fall out, and that we might hear some key signings in the next day or two of people staying there, because a lot Ryder players want to stay in Ryderville. They don't really want to go. I mean, Sheets has said that. Milo has said that. I mean, they want to stay in their city. So I think that it's a very unique situation for the Riders this year because the cap is being raised at the same time as they have just won the Grey Cup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anyone else on the Riders? Any other opinions on the Riders?
Anybody want to wager on who they might bring in?
I haven't
heard anything.
As a surprise? A surprise?
It could be Jamal Johnson, just because they need help at outside linebacker. If Craig Butler's going to leave, they have a hole there they need to fill. But you never know. I mean, they're still the defending champions that happen to beat the BC Lions and the Stamps again. So just to put that out there one more time. But, you know, I don't know. All I know is that, like to your point, Brandon Tamin's a great GM, and he'll find guys, and Jeremy O'Day does a good job as an assistant. And ultimately, we're coming for the BC Lions, and we're taking you out. Period.
Lots of luck, MJ.
Here we go. We're coming, man. Yeah, no, this is a Western thing. I'm sorry. We just got to put it out there. Because I know Chris on the low, he takes a little pot shots, even on Facebook, at the Riders and their fans and all that. But it's all good. We'll just wait to the playoffs when your team loses again.
Yeah, but nobody gets shots on Facebook like the people who ask people if they're interested in listening to this show. They didn't get reported on Facebook. Holy crap.
No doubt.
Yeah, who
we do.
Someone just posted on my Ticat site. I got a Facebook group. They think that Javon Johnson from Winnipeg is going to come to Hamilton, and Jamal Johnson would go over to Winnipeg. Like, it would be just like a swap. JJ for JJ.
Wow. Oh, God. They'll be swapping Johnson?
That's wrong on so many different levels.
That's wrong.
Oh.
Family Channel.
y'all know what? I want to go back on something, Frank. I want to go back on something that I was listening to before I was able to get in. This is Mike, by the way. I think
the trading
of Drew Willie going to Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm guaranteeing Winnipeg wish they wouldn't have pulled that trade off, because I'm up here reading too that Winnipeg actually wants Kevin Green.
Yeah, they do. Mm.
Unfortunately.
Yep, they want Kevin Green. So yeah, I know they're probably thinking, why we didn't sit up here and made a trade. Now we're going to have to deal with Wiley, and if we can get Glenn, what are we going
to
do?
Yeah, but would they be willing to trade Willie for Glenn? Because
do you think Willie's any better or worse than DeMarco?
No, he's better than DeMarco. No. Come on.
Yeah,
DeMarco got exposed
man,
last year.
See, what a lot of guys don't know about Willie, man, Willie has had a lot of playing time south of the border. He has a lot. It's not like he has not been playing. That guy is an above average quarterback with two championships under his belt as a starting quarterback.
So
he has
why
a lot of
would Winnipeg
time.
Why would Winnipeg want Glenn then? What's the motivation for getting Glenn?
Because Glenn has more experience in the CFL than Willie.
And you have to remember, the fans are demanding it too, because the fans still have a lot of sentiment towards, you know, Glenn, and they kind of feel bad the way he went out, especially that breaking his arm in the Eastern Final in 07. But, you know, the fans there are just they're demanding. They're like Ryder fans, and they have that pressure of having to fill the stadium because they have to pay $4.5 million a year mortgage on that stadium, so they have to fill it.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so if the fans are demanding something. You hit
the nail on the head, Mike, because you know what? Being a Ticat fan, not being an owner, not being a coach, I'd rather have Kevin Glenn than Zach Collaros. Just because I've seen Kevin Glenn, and he's got that personality about him. He gets along with you. I'm speaking as a fan.
I'm sorry, but that goes down as one of the most preposterous statements I've heard all year. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But you know what, Manasseh, oh, really? If you think about it, Manasseh, look at the experience.
Don't tell me you're going to agree with that.
But look at the experience Glenn has, and look at the experience that Collaros has. Collaros had, what, 7 games experience?
Eight.
Okay. And Glenn, eight.
Apparently,
but Glenn,
Mike seem to have forgot those couple years when Glenn was in Hamilton. Remember how he kept getting hurt every single game? And how
hey, man, he took us to the playoffs every single year, too.
And
might
then
not have went further in
the
playoffs, but we got
game.
To the playoffs.
It wasn't hard in the Eastern Division.
Right.
Well,
he was losing.
Doesn't matter. We got to the playoffs every year.
Remember 2010, that interception, the end of the game, losing to the Argos in 2008, you know.
Okay,
Casey
Printer's
quarterback
would
be
I think
I'm
saying as
a
fan base, as
a
fan wise.
Yes, hang on a second. We're not I don't think Bruce is talking about who's going to be a better quarterback. Bruce is talking about, as a fan, you look at a player and you go, this is what this guy can do, and now we got this other guy we're not so sure about. A guy like Austin will see the situation, and maybe you will too, Manasseh, because you know, you're a brilliant football guy. Ordinary guys like me and Bruce, we look at players and go, you know, like a Ray comes to Toronto – we go, wow, I can't believe Ray came to Toronto. You know, because we know, we go by what we see, not the nuances of the game, right? Willie's the same thing in Winnipeg. Willie hasn't been given a chance to play quarterback in the CFL enough, but Winnipeg sees something in Willie that caused them to bring him in. Now you guys are telling me that Glenn is a hot property heading towards Winnipeg, not because the team really wants him, but because the fans want him. So I'm just to where we started. Yeah, and I'm just trying to go back to where we started, which is
okay.
Winnipeg.
And you know what, Frank?
And
I'm sorry, and the thing about that they're going to need them a good, reliable backup for Willie, because if you think of who they got on the roster right now, ain't none of them guys capable of being a backup. None of them. They need to be somewhere.
That's insulting.
I'm telling
Justin
you.
Colts and Max Hall, man. I think they're good enough to be backups. That's cool.
Man, mm-mm. No. Justin
they're not good enough
sold.
To be starters, but they can be backups.
Man, Justin Gold.
Well, guys,
has
if Glenn goes, you guys just keep going down the road. You go down the road. Glenn goes to Winnipeg. That makes one of their younger guys expendable. One of those younger guys, like a Hall, may end up in Toronto or somewhere else where they want a competent guy who they think would make a good young quarterback as a number three, because the Argos are looking for a number three here, because I think Harris is their – he is going to be their backup this year. Trevor Harris has spent a lot of time in the organization. He's going to get a chance. So to make a long story short, Glenn can go to Winnipeg for the reasons you guys stipulate, and it'll be a merry-go-round, because that's what happened when Burris went to Ottawa. Who didn't think there'd be a merry-go-round in the future when Burris went to – isn't that all what we all thought? Did any of us think that Glenn would be happy with that move?
It all started when Zach left Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah. It started a merry-go-round. And guys,
we talk about it. And it's been a merry-go-round with them two guys, for 2 years now? Glenn and Burris, you know? And if Winnipeg does trade any of them young guys, because I'm going to keep either between Max Hall and Justin Ghost, I'm keeping Ghost, and I ship Max Hall off.
Yep, I agree with that.
I'm shipping
that's
him off.
100%
shipping him off.
On that.
I only, guys, I only said Toronto just because of Calero's thing, because I was trying to make it pretty. You know what I'm saying?
Frank, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Well, I mean, the Argos got Mitchell Gale. He's a solid number three.
Most people may not
know him, but he's good. He's good.
Yeah, it was just a going full circle is what Frank was trying to bring it.
That's all I was trying to do.
Calero's, Burrows, Land. Hall back to Toronto, so it just went around in a big circle there, and I think that's what is the metaphor you're trying to throw out there, right?
Yeah, that's all. Just that's the way it works, right? So you know, it doesn't
Calgary
matter.
Or Edmonton.
It doesn't really. Next.
Oh,
let's see. That'll be, I think that means, let's see, Edmonton is south. I'm trying to remember how that works. Yeah, well, let's go
Edmonton's
to Calgary
north.
Let's go. Well, actually, I already got Calgary. Hufnagel, Mr. Secrecy, help me out, guys. Free agents and such. Who wants
Calgary
to take on
Calgary? Has signed just about everybody.
Yeah,
Calgary has really signed just about everybody. They are rocking through this thing. I'd say Laguerre is probably the D lineman out there that is the most obvious that's going to happen or has not yet been signed. But the rest of the guys are just,
right.
You know, who, Darius Brooks, Anthony Parker, Cordell Law.
Yeah, Cordero Law is the biggest free agent they have left, and he's getting NFL workouts. But if he does come back to the CFL, he's going to be one of the top defensive prospects in the free agent market without question. I think he was the second guy in sacks, right? Didn't he have like 16? It was like Charleston Hughes and then him. So, you know.
A huge prospect, but like you said, he's testing the waters south of the market, so nobody's going to pull the trigger on him right away.
Right.
Oh, man, a lot of CFL guys getting workouts, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, guys, that's what I want to save some time for because I want to discuss that after we get through all the teams. Otherwise, we'll do it on Friday. I want to get to the conversation about the NFL and how they've picked off a lot of you know, it appears that not only the fans are appreciating well this is a promo. Not only the fans are appreciating the CFL, so is the NFL. All right, so Calgary, we're done. We'll go over to Edmonton, and in Edmonton, I guess what we can leave in Calgary is the biggest question for them is replacing Campbell as a coach. Is he that good a coach? Free agent, they don't have. Nick Lewis, it will be like a trade for nobody that you bring in. That team's going to be a lot better with him in the lineup, and hopefully he doesn't have the kind of injury that took him out of the lineup for such a prolonged period last year, and I believe cost them any kind of opportunity to make the Grey Cup. In Edmonton, this one's interesting because like Ottawa, they could be shopping around for some guys. They might pick off a couple of guys. But it seems like Jones is the type of guy that likes fresh meat. What do you guys think?
I don't know, Jones.
You got anything on Edmonton?
Only thing I could see would be maybe Pat Watkins leaving Toronto and just joining Jones. Because Jones, he's all about having tall defensive backs like he had with Brandon Browner in Calgary. So that's his whole thing. He has to have tall D-backs, so he probably will bring Watkins with him.
So he could end up going with Edmonton.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, going to come into Edmonton. That's
okay,
other
anybody
now,
else on Edmonton? This is why I want an Edmonton fan. We got to find an Edmonton fan because right now with the state of Edmonton being so low in the standings, nobody really pays attention to what's going on in Edmonton.
Well,
this
year,
they got
Kerry Cope. Kerry Cope is up for available, right? He's a wide receiver that is going to be sought after, as is Ted Laurent, the defensive tackle. And Tommaso Muniz. I'm never good with names.
Yeah, he's
a linebacker.
Muniz.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the three that Edmonton has that they're subjective to lose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, the rumors are saying that if Nick Moore doesn't come back to BC, it looks like Coke is looking to go to BC instead of Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But Nick Moore also offered Wally the opportunity to match anything that's out there.
Wow.
And now we're in BC. Now we're in BC, so we get in there. So Nick Moore, he's a hot property.
Right.
He's number one in the league right now, yes. He's the number one prospect in free agency, according to CFL.ca.
Wow.
And if I was Wally Borno, give him a max deal. Give him $200K, man. I mean, if you can give Arsenal $200K.
Yeah,
and I
agree. Nick Moore, Wally's got to do what he's got to do. Unfortunately, you know, I don't know. He's got his back up against the wall, and he doesn't like to be cornered too often.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers.
What the heck just
that wasn't me, guys. Unbelievable.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, and
all right, guys.
Kieron Williams is the other one, the defensive end, the rush end that we have that lights things up. I understand that Wally made him another offer this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard anything back with one way or the other on that. So he may or may not stay with the Lions. I have heard that Mark Washington would like to go to a 3-4 defense instead of the 4-3, in which they're out shopping for a linebacker, which I've also heard the rumor that Montreal is spouting off that Shea Emery's coming out to the West Coast. I don't know where or how that is. I also know that Wally has his eye on Craig Butler to replace Jarrell LaRose in the safety position.
Yeah.
So if he's going to open up his first string and build himself a defense. What's that?
Where did Jalen Rose? Where'd he go? He got cut?
No, he said he's a liability back there. He gives up too many big plays and has too many pass interferences. So they need Butler.
Yeah, they're talking about that last year.
He's the reason they lost the West semifinal to the Riders. I mean, he had like three pass interferences in that game.
JR's a buddy of mine, so you know, I like the guy, but you know what? I agree with Manasseh here. If Craig Butler can go into that safety position, we throw a fourth linebacker in there with the three up front that we have. We have a defense that it will rock the world.
Yeah, if they get Butler, forget about it. They're going to win the Grey Cup next year. That's it. Their defense would be too talented.
But do you think they're going to have the money to sign him? Because
if they let Nick Moore go, they'd be smart too, because they don't need Moore. The Moore can get replaced by guys like Sean Gore, Mark Wyatt-Neuse. They have enough solid receivers. Courtney Taylor, I think he's just as good as Nick Moore, if not better. And he does a better job making plays. So.
And Manny is there, right? And Manny is a big playmaker.
Yeah.
So, I'm not upset if Nick Moore goes, because that does open up a lot of space. We do have an extra $500,000 with this new CBA coming in. I think that we can actually pull in this defense that they're looking for right now with Craig Butler and Shea Emery
Damaso Munoz could come in there and be that outside linebacker as well. I think with his speed, he's a better fit than Shea Emery. If they get him and Butler, that's a nightmare of a defense right there. I'm with that.
Yep. There you go.
Don't forget the most important factor. They're hosting the Grey Cup, which means the cap really doesn't mean anything.
Or that the CFL is going to be behind them. Anyways, <yeah.
laughs> it's their turn. Can you imagine four in a row, guys? I mean, really?
The conspiracy theorists are going to love that.
I mean, unbelievable, eh, guys? Like, first of all, before BC won the Grey Cup at home, how often did the home team win the Grey Cup?
BC was the last one to win it at home in 94.
94.
Yep. 95.
But how often?
Less than three. That was it. It only had Montreal did it once, and then you got to go back to the 40s.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
94.
We're going four in a row here.
Hey, just tell BC to go over the cap this year. They can go ahead and win it.
I honestly don't think Wally will do that. The cap means something to Wally, so it doesn't mean something to some people, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, well, if you got lots of money, it probably doesn't mean anything. Okay, so that's it with BC, right? I wanted to get into this, and unfortunately you guys talked about it first. While he's not a free agent, Kevin Glenn now, because of Burris going to Ottawa, I was saving this for the end. You guys touched on it a little bit. Glenn is kind of a free agent because there are some teams there that might be interested in having him on their roster. He even if it means being in the same position he's in right now, because he'd rather be in the position he's in now on another team feeling like it was his decision as opposed to being blindsided by the organization, I think, the way he was. No one here is going to say that he had any idea that Burris would be coming to Ottawa, because I know he wasn't listening to the show, because if he was, he wouldn't have been so surprised.
We were telling everybody.
Yeah. And I think it's not just that Burris came to us for how much they paid Burris, you know?
That's the thing.
Right.
How could he say no?
How much was that contract worth?
Yeah, Burris' deal is first year $450,000, second year $500,000, third year gets up to $600,000. And Kevin Glenn's getting $150,000. So you could imagine
how
ticked off he might be, yeah. So I would imagine. I mean,
what? You know what, guys? I hope he didn't buy a house.
No, I don't think he did. I think this happened quick enough that none of that happened.
Right.
I don't even think he rented a car to go to the town hall yet.
I don't even think he went to the town hall.
And y'all know what? And I'm gonna tell you something. I bet Calgary's looking at this like, okay, wow. We could have had a chance to get him back,
kidding.
But we just threw a lot of money at Adrian McPherson. Now what do we do?
Well,
but they threw a lot of money at McPherson to come up from
South. Adrian McPherson's an upgrade. I think McPherson's an upgrade. I know not.
I do too.
That's the understatement of the year.
I think he's an upgrade.
Yeah,
I do, Frank. I'm with you.
I think he's an upgrade too, but we need to see what he do being a full-time starter.
Well, we're going to find out, and he won't need to be any more a full-time starter than Kevin Glenn was to be equal. An upgrade would be, you know, showing up
and
winning a big game.
We all know that Drew Tate's going to give him the opportunity, so, you know.
Okay, guys. Our time's up. Thanks for tuning in.
2.0.
Guys, thank you. Friday, we'll be back again. We'll be talking about the NFL and how much they love the CFL. They want to steal our rules and our players, apparently. Thanks for tuning in. Candid Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. See you again next time.
Right, everyone.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.